Well, a popular write-in candidate for many years, off and on, has been Dick Gregory, comedian, lecturer, outspoken person on many political issues. He's been saying for a number of years that he thinks it's pointless to take the lesser of two evils approach to voting, and he thinks it's very disappointing and disillusioning that so many people have been having to make that kind of decision when they go to the polls. He recently spoke before the Ford Hall Forum, and that was recorded for National Public Radio. We're going to hear an excerpt of that speech now, and this was recorded right before the election. This was, I don't know if he's still fasting until the hostages are released, but he was fasting while this was recorded. And again, it was before the election, so he'll be talking from the vantage point of speaking before the votes were finally cast. But it will give you an understanding of how he relates to the choicelessness that he feels exists in the election campaign. So this is an excerpt of his talk before the Ford Hall Forum, and the subject of his speech was, "Are Minorities Really Powerless?" Dick Gregory.
Let me first say hello to you. Hello. Come on, let's try that again. Hello. And let me say it's a pleasure. I'm doing very well, thank you. Let me say it's a pleasure to be with you today. I'm glad to be here. This is the 190th day of my fast. I spent 4.5 months in Iran on a fast and prayer vigil. And you know, the press in this part of the world keeps writing the wrong purpose of my fast. The press keeps saying Dick Gregory is fasting and praying that the hostages will be released. That is not what I'm fasting and praying for. I'm fasting and praying that the conflict that exists between America and Iran will be solved and brought to a peaceful, nonviolent conclusion. Okay? That's what I'm praying for. Because the hostage problem could be solved in the morning and we could still have one of them big wars tomorrow night, with the alienation and the complete lack of understanding that exists. And so I would hope that the praying people in the world, and my fast and prayer vigil was only addressed mainly to the people that believe in prayers and the people that believe in a God, that we have a power. We, the little people on this planet, have a power. And no longer do we have to sit by and let a handful of greedy old men manipulate us to determine when we go into war and where we go into war. And I'm just sick and tired of living on a planet that have wiped us out in this Western society and make us feel like we such insignificant nothings. You know, this is a fantastic topic, you know, minorities, you know, are we strong or are we weak? We are no stronger, no weaker than white folks are in America. And the minute y'all get that in y'all's head, the better off this country will be. And the minute white America stop believing that strength is a bank account and living in such and such a house and having this and having that, that's not strength, because to have all that and got to go to psychiatrists and be on 15, 16 different pills to commit more suicide than anybody on the planet, to use more drugs, to use more alcohol than anybody on the planet, that is not strength, okay? And when you look at America and look at it honestly and ethically, America is a very weak nation. Because a strong nation never have and never will mean who has the mightiest army, the mightiest navy, the mightiest air force. A strong nation is a nation that has the healthiest people mentally and physically. Okay? And to sit here and live here in Boston, the citadel of intellectuality, so they say. Harvard University, Northeastern University, Boston, all of these fantastic schools they claim. And yet 3 miles away from these institutions, you have the most frightened white folks on the planet. And that's what the problem is here in Boston. And I know one thing, if I took Harvard University and made it a meatpacking house, you could smell the stink halfway to Connecticut. Now, I am not about to believe that a meatpacking house with dead animal meat should have more effect on a community than a Harvard and these so-called good institutions that y'all claim y'all have in this community. Because if they ever lived up to the principles of what they should be, Boston wouldn't have the problems that they have. Okay? And yet we have president after president that comes back here to Harvard and these institutions to bring people to Washington to solve world problems, and nobody's ever thought about going to Harvard or MIT to get somebody to solve the problems here in Boston, because the world problems have never been solved. They've been manipulated. Okay? They've never been solved. Well, I say to you today, y'all play your games if you want to, but you better play them quick and you better play them fast, because recess is just about over, baby. Mm-hmm. And so I say the minorities in this country can be no more stronger or weaker than you white folks are in this country. And the sooner you all stop playing games with yourself and realize there's a handful of rich, rich, elite white folks that not only controls America, but controls and manipulate the world, and you're not one of them. Okay. See, I've always contended that there really is not but about five real white folks. The rest of y'all is imposters. That's right. Because white haven't got nothing to do with a color. It's an attitude. And if you haven't got them big, big billions of bucks, you can't have the attitude. This is the whole game that they play. And we black folks for so long called you white folks Boss Charlie because we really thought the game was just being played with us. And the more freedom we get, the more integration we get, we find out you white folks in America in a worse trick and a worse bag than we are. I mean, I can understand me not having the right to vote for a long time because I was brought over here a slave, but I don't understand how you white women tolerated not voting in this free democratic society till 1921. Something wrong with y'all. I can understand that. I can understand the segregation and the rigid racism that black folks go through, but how do you white women go under this rigid sexism pattern without raising up like we did across this country? I don't understand. And somewhere, when we in America understand how weak we are as a nation, oh, some Iranians march down the street, you can go out and jump on them, but I bet if them Russians was holding your hostages, you ain't gonna jump on no Russian. That's right. That's right. You ain't gonna jump on nobody that might jump on you back. Okay? Now, y'all go on and play your games with yourself, but that's the one thing about a society that has a nigger as a crutch. One day, you'll find out that you the nigger and you the crutch. That's the problem. I listened to judges when I was over in Iran. I had a short wave set, and I listened to some of the American judges say, what we ought to do is kick all these Iranian students out of here. But I never heard a judge talk about kicking the mafia out. Okay? And I'm sure if we march down the street with some Iranians in Boston, they'll be attacked. But the mafia got a grip on this town second to none, and you white folks in this town act like it don't even exist. Y'all walk around talking about freedom and New England and talking all strange. Okay? All right? Y'all sitting around here now talking about this group of white ministers, this mall majority, and everybody seemed to be uptight about them, but they have never mentioned the mafia or drugs, what it's doing to this country. They ain't gonna mess with nobody that will mess with them back. Y'all leave this auditorium tonight and walk out and see an incident. And the minute you find out it's some black folks or some Chicanos or some Puerto Ricans or just some poor white folks, y'all will tell the cops everything they want to know. But the minute you find out the mafia did it, didn't none of y'all see nothing. Okay? And as long as we sit by and tolerate it, as long as we sit by and tolerate what we tolerate in this country, and minorities, I mean, we minority people keep looking to white America. We keep looking for you, for your leadership.
We understand when they ran up on our black college campuses and gunned black children down. We didn't like it, but we understood it. What we didn't understand when they went up to Kent University and shot white kids cold dead, and y'all didn't do nothing about it. And they cannot make like they made a mistake, because when you look at those pictures from Kent, there was no black students in the crowd. They can't make like they were shooting at us and hit y'all by mistake. They went there. They went there with the express intention of gunning down some white children. That whole game. We could halfway understand it if this drug game they was ripping us off was just for the black community. But they're ripping off the white community with it too. And you tolerate it. And we just cannot believe that you would tolerate that, since white America seemed not to want to tolerate anything black folks do. And I know how we can get rid of the mafia overnight. Let black folks take it over. That's right. That's right. Let black folks be responsible for all the drugs that's coming in the white neighborhood, and you'd stop it overnight. And if you're silly enough to believe that we can't stop drug trafficking in this country, then you're in trouble. We got satellites up there in the sky that tells us exactly when the poppy seed's been planted, when it's harvest, what ship it's on, and what route it's coming. Okay? And if you're telling me they can slip in enough drugs in this country to turn on a whole generation of our children, then suppose the Russians decided the one way to break this country down would be through drugs. And what are you telling me? The Russians could bring them in here like they tell we? The reason we can't stop drugs, they come in on low-flying planes from South America. But suppose the Russians want to send some KGB agents in here to blow up New York City. What did that have to do? Put them on some low-flying planes from South America. Y'all got a big job. I do not believe we've gone beyond that point of no return. But I believe we're fastly getting there. And somewhere it have to I look at this election coming up, and it kind of bothers me. Man, Reagan don't bother me. No, I remember black folks was upset with me that when LBJ was running against Barry Goldwater, I said, well, I'm not taking no sides because I don't vote for the lesser of the evils. My spiritual thing won't permit me to do that. And black leaders was doing a buck then. Well, wait a minute, Craig. What about Goldwater? I said, I tell you how I feel about Goldwater. Goldwater's a homegrown American boy. A lot of people want to act like Ronald Reagan just floated down here from another planet. Because of how you feel about Ronald Reagan or Jimmy Carter, we are responsible for them. They were produced and nurtured and developed under this system. Okay? Okay? Now, all at once, everybody want to look around now and act like, you know, Reagan came. Oh, you serious? What you scared of? How long do you think you can have a system where you vote for the lesser of the two evils without one day ending up with the evil of the evil? How long will you tolerate a campaign that a candidate goes into an Italian neighborhood with one speech, and an Irish neighborhood with another speech, and a Catholic neighborhood with another speech, and a black neighborhood with another speech without realizing that's a racist campaign? That one day when we demand a pure, honest, ethical America, the same speech will work all the way across this country. That's what it's about. But what these candidates end up doing is appealing to our greed. And that's what's wrong. Where are we greedy? And whoever becomes president of the United States, they don't run this country. Are you serious? I got back from Iran. I walked from the United Nations all the way to the White House as a prayer vigil to say to the president of the United States, I know you can get them hostages back in any 7-day period. I know that. Now, you can tell the rest of people them funny games if you want to, but I know what's going on. And I sit there for 13 days. People came out to talk to me from the White House, and we got to talking and rapping. I said, you know, I mean, do the president really realize that he don't run this country? If the war started in the morning, that helicopter's supposed to pick him up, probably ain't even going to show. He's going to be out there on the lawn with that little girl. Somewhere. Everybody's upset now, but Ralph Abernathy and Dawson Regan. White folks have always played that game. Half of you back this one, half of you back that one, and whoever win, you in good shape. So how come black folk can't play that same game? I don't agree with those games that's being played, but I don't know why everybody's so shocked. Now, if Carter win, Abernathy is in a lot of trouble. But if Regan slips through, all the black folks that need anything is going to have to get behind Ralph. Now, I don't agree with playing games myself. And I think that's what the problem is. But first, we got to understand that the politicians that we have out here is only a reflection of us. And I will never understand why you Americans sit back and let that FBI Afghan thing happen. Because that kind of bothers me. It bothers me, one, that they didn't get no blacks. Now, do that mean only white boys to take some money? I have a problem with the fact that most of you all tonight come out here to sit down and to hear or speak and to relate and to rap. And I have a problem if the FBI or the Boston police come in here and make an offer to induce you to commit a crime when you come out the house with not crime on your mind. Now, I don't have a problem with that if just some hoodlum or some thugs on the street do and you get caught, but I have a problem. Now, I worry about the FBI tampering with Congress, trying to catch them in a trick before they tamper with the mafia and dope pushers on the street trying to catch them in a trick. That's what bothers me. As bad as our politicians have been, they still not as worse as the mafia and all this crookedness that goes on in our society. Why don't they use them cameras to catch them gasoline folks that done put us in an oil trick? It ain't bit more no oil shortage on this planet than the man in the moon. But because we so greedy and we so busy into our thing, they can manipulate us 24 hours a day and somewhere. And then what bothers me, out of all those folks sitting in Congress, why did the FBI just pick those eight? That bothers me. And I think we should demand them to explain it to us. And there should be a thorough investigation to see how many of them got busted, sits on the committee that regulates the FBI. Or maybe we should say, did they bust not just eight, but 208? Okay, because if that happened, y'all in trouble. And just use those eight as an example to say to them other 200, you better be cool and do what we want you to do, or you next. I don't understand how you sit back. But I know if a bunch of black folks put eight white Congress folks in a trick, there would be more questions asked about our legality and why we did it and why we picked them than it is about the FBI. Something wrong. So I don't know why all at once Americans seem to be upset about the folks that's representing us in the political arena. They are reflections of us. They are just the large of what we are the small of. And that's why we keep getting ripped off 24 hours a day. Because we don't think that much different from the way they think. I remember when Nixon got busted with Watergate, the first thing I thought, what about the Watergates in our life? Think about that.